Good evening, everybody. Welcome to an all-new live episode of Brain Stew Wrestling on BrainStewRadio.com and MoreLikeRadio.com. Good evening. My name is Hammy. Joining me in studio is Michael Hipster Punchy Falcone.
That's right. And
sort of holding a burp right there.
Yeah. Oddly enough, I'm not the one who picked this intro song.
Yeah, surprisingly, I'm the one that picked the extremely angry sounding music tonight.
Yeah, it was this, like, usually, yes, usually songs like this, you can blame me. I pretty much picked all of the intro songs, with the exception of, like, two or three times.
That song was The Salt is the Law by Whitechapel. Number to call, 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. You could chat with us by going to brainstewradio.com/live or morelikeradio.com/live. Or if you're watching us on the stream on YouTube, on the YouTube chat.
And the saw is not the law, Hammy. I am the law.
Yeah.
All right, Judge Dredd, relax. Tonight's show, we are featuring our Money in the Bank predictions. We have our usual weekly Raw recap, where we recap everything that is important to watch on Monday Night Raw, because even though Raw is 3 hours, it's very rarely all watchable. And we are starting off tonight with, Seth Rollins will certainly be in our most talked about Raw segment here. But first, let's start out with the top five news stories. We have a lot of stuff we have to get to in the next hour. Mike, what is the first story on the docket for top five news stories of the week?
Cranky Pants CM Punk finally has his UFC debut date.
Ooh! You mean the same Cranky Pants that a lot of wrestling fans, yourself included, were all hyping for to be a UFC fighter?
Yeah, well, that's what happens when it takes so long that he really becomes like the Chinese democracy of debuts.
He really has been. I mean,
like,
you signed with the UFC. It feels like it's been a year since he signed with the UFC.
It feels like eons since he signed.
And he had two surgeries. He had injuries that needed to be taken care of. And do we even know an opponent for him?
Yeah, Mickey Gall. They actually had a fight night.
Oh, so it is the same guy as last time. Okay.
Yeah, they had a fight night to name his opponent. So,
well, that's good. CM Punk will be fighting at, what's the date?
It's going to be August 20th, 2016. At UFC.
I was about to say, wow, that was a really long time ago he fought.
Hence
one time said, only fight. Legendary.
That's why I said it's 16.
There's
going to be UFC 202. That's going to be headlined by Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz, too.
Put the mic closer to you.
It's going to be highlighted by Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor, too.
That's going to be an explosive rematch. I can't wait for it.
Two of the best shit talkers in mixed martial arts.
I think McGregor is going to come back and win this time. I have confidence in him. I think while he is a massive shit talker, he knows that he needs to back up his shit talking. Well, so I think he is going to come out with the victory. But this isn't a UFC show. This is a WWE/pro wrestling show. CM Punk will be debuting at UFC 202 live on pay-per-view. Cannot wait for that show.
Can't wait.
And Brock Lesnar, in like a couple of weeks now, will be returning to the Octagon at UFC 200, the biggest UFC pay-per-view of all time. And I want to stick with UFC for just 1 second before we move on to the number four story. MMA fans are, in a way, a lot like pro wrestling fans. They're very easily bothered. They complain about everything. And it's almost impossible to satisfy them. When UFC 200 was first announced and we found out that McGregor was not going to fight at it, a lot of people in the MMA community were all saying there are no good stories building up to this. There are no good fights booked for this. There is nothing that is captivating my interest. And then, lo and behold, a few weeks later, we have Jones Cormier rematch. We have Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And we have a stacked undercard that everyone is now saying there's not a bad fight.
Yeah.
There's not a bad matchup. And not to mention, Mike, the two days prior to UFC 200 have a UFC Fight Pass card and another event. And those cards are stacked as well. So All the talk about UFC 200 being a bust, man, UFC really came back and shut all of the complainers up.
Out the window. Like, no.
If only Vince McMahon can do the same thing for us wrestling fans.
Wow. What, you mean you want more Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
Reigns. There's an Ultimate Fighter finale the day before.
And that's what I forgot what it was, but yes, it is the Ultimate Fighter finale. So, CM Punk, to recap, number five story. CM Punk has a UFC debut. He will be fighting at UFC 202 a must-win fight.
And 200 are going to be the most watched UFC events in a long time.
Very much so. Number four, Mike, what's up?
So, you guys remember that DX theme? You know, the are you ready? Burm, burm. Chris Warren, you guys might know him as the guy who also did Triple H's original theme, you know, the game one.
Yeah.
He passed away on the 12th.
This guy.
Yeah.
Right. I remember at WrestleMania 14, the DX band played the national anthem to purposely get a lot of heel heat, which they succeeded. They played Triple H to the ring, and they played DX to the ring. So the singer of the DX band passed away.
Yep. This guy, the guy singing, passed away, guys.
Did they find out, like, what was the cause
of it? But,
I always thought this was the guy from Rage Against the Machine. I always thought this was, like, Zach De La Hoya.
No, yeah, like,
very similar sounding. Dumb hammy moment, which I do have a lot of them. For years, I thought this guy was the guy from Rage Against the Machine. In fact, I even thought that this was Rage Against the Machine for a while, because I know how popular Rage was back then. I thought this was Rage Against the Machine.
That was WWE's like, hey, let's get someone who sounds like the guy from Rage Against the Machine to do the song. Because we don't want to pay Rage Against the Machine's label to use their songs.
No, let's get Jim Johnson to record everything in the song and have this guy come in and sing.
Do the vocals, yeah.
So, lead singer DX band passes away over the weekend. Causes of death are still unknown.
Still unknown, guys.
But middle age, we're guess. If I were to put a
49
a guess on it, probably heart failure, drugs. It's a bitch.
Yeah, you know, you never know.
Number three
story, folks. We're getting through these. TNA Slammiversary almost didn't happen.
What do you mean almost didn't happen? What could you possibly mean by almost didn't happen? You mean if they didn't pay the electric bill?
Actually, with knowing TNA, it's not too far off.
That's very true and sad. So why didn't TNA go on the air almost? Why didn't they almost not go on the air? Let me reword that right, dumb shit, Hammy. What was the problem with TNA Slammiversary?
Well, you can sum it up by Dixie doesn't know money management.
Man, if there was a female Paul Heyman, Dixie Carter is it. Dixie Carter, man, has the money management skills of both Paul Heyman running a wrestling company and me when I get my paycheck.
Any of us.
Within a weekend, gone.
And, well, I guess her dad and her parents cut her off for a little bit.
What do you mean her dad and her parents cut her off? Isn't she, like, middle-aged or something?
The joke is her parents bought it and had her run it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened behind the scenes with TNA?
Let me just pull up the story, because first off, TNA is such a train wreck. Can we just point this out? Like, and you know what kills me is how has it not died yet? Like, how is TNA still around making shitty backstage segments?
I have no idea.
Like, oh, God. So, TNA is pretty much, like, in financial ruin. I think actually Billy Corgan saved the day.
Billy, as in the guy from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. Like, oh, boy. They did not have enough money to run the promotion. And Billy Corgan purchased a minority stake in the company to give them the cash to allow
it. So the guy from the Smashing Pumpkins is the reason why the company is still somehow afloat now.
Yep. Why Slammiversary happened. Billy Corgan's always been like a huge wrestling fan, though.
I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, what better way to get to break into the wrestling business as an owner of a promotion than the struggling TNA?
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing, though. Worst shift to go on. He should have, like, purchased stake in Ring of Honor.
Well, yeah, if he wanted to purchase a minority ownership in a successful wrestling promotion, yeah, go to ROH.
Go there, but, you know, he decided TNA, because why not? Probably he probably bought low. They're just like, hey, you want stake in the company? Help us not have our WrestleMania be canceled.
Cool story, bro, in the chat room, going back to our previous story. MMA fans are the beer snobs of combat sports. I could not agree with you more there, buddy. You see on Facebook and especially Instagram, a lot of beer snobs who only like a certain type of quality about it, even though, to me, let's be honest, most beer all tastes the same. I know I'm going to piss off a lot of beer snobs out there. But a lot of beer tastes exactly the same, mostly bad. But MMA fans are horrendous when it comes to what they like in a fighter. They will completely turn on a fighter and support a fighter at the drop of a dime. At least with wrestling fans, you know they're going to boo Roman Reigns whenever he comes out. It's not one day they're going to all of a sudden cheer for Reigns. They're always going to boo him.
It's because you're the guy.
That's an awesome comparison. That are the beer snobs of combat sports. That's brilliant. What a great analogy. What are we on? Number three?
No, we're actually on our fourth story.
Oh, boy. Number two.
Chris Jericho was on ESPN recently.
I still can't believe TNA almost didn't go on the air because they didn't pay the bills. Jesus Christ.
Maybe they'd stop dumpster diving in WWE.
Right.
Oh my God! We found a Drew Galloway. Look, they just tossed us right out into the garbage. We could use this. Say hello to our new champion. Oh, former. Never mind. Because he lost the title to Bobby Lashley.
So Chris Jericho was on ESPN, and a lot of the I give Jonathan Coachman a lot of credit for having a good quality interview with all the people he's had on so far. And some of the wrestlers who were on were out of character, not honoring kayfabe. Jericho, on the other hand.
Cool story, bro. How many times did he say stupid idiot?
Well, let's find out because we have the segment here. Let's see. Let's just browse through it and see what he says.
To be fair, though, if Coach weren't a stupid idiot, he wouldn't have to say.
Right. Very much so.
Man who knows all about Money in the Bank and will be a part of this match on Sunday, Y2J Chris Jericho. Welcome back, sir, to SportsCenter.
The pleasure is yours as always, Coach. Always okay talking to you.
All right, we just saw
he's definitely playing his heel persona here
of all time. You are part of the very first Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania 21 2005. How surprised are you the match has turned into its own show and one of the premier events on the WWE calendar?
Well, Coach, I know you asked the questions that other people write down for you, but here's a little tidbit that you might not have known. I actually invented the Money in the Bank ladder match, and the reason
just like how Gene Simmons invented breathing.
There was a lot of opportunities for me, so
he plays the Mrs. character better than the Miz.
Having a ladder match where you would get a contract that you could cash in for a title shot the next night on Raw. That expanded to being in a briefcase where you have a whole year before you cash it in. So it was a really cool moment to have that little niche match on WrestleMania. Now here we are 10 years later, and it's become its own pay-per-view.
That's still one of the best spots ever with Shelton Benjamin.
Satisfaction in knowing that I had something to do with putting together the whole match in the first place. That has now become a WWE tradition. And it's one of the most exciting matches that you'll see, and that's this Sunday on the WWE Network, which is going to be amazing, Coach. So good that even you could have a good showing in a match like this.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that you would take credit for it, whether you had it to do or not. But let me ask you this.
I did invent it, Coach. I'm not making it up,
okay? I know you did.
You stupid idiot.
This is your fifth Money in the Bank match. Does any one match stick out for you?
I think they kind of blend together because there's been so many over the course of the years, but I remember one of them, I think the last one I was in, probably 2012, I had this idea of trying to grab the case and then someone would pull the ladder away and then I would kind
of
hang
CM Punk
from
one as well?
the case, which was on the chain. which is right above us right now. And it was, I could feel it kind of really, under the weight of my, of the pressure of my weight, you could feel it kind of really straining. About 3 seconds later, after I got back on the ladder, John Cena went to grab it and the thing fell off. And I was like, had that happened while I was hanging from it, I just would have plummeted, you know, with the case in my hand. So it is a dangerous match.
That's 2012, Punk was champion then.
It's a lot of fun.
Cena wins, LOL.
But well, he won the Money in the Bank, but not the...
Anytime you have a ladder match, ladders bite. They don't play well with others, and you never know when they're going to come up and break your teeth in half, which happened to me in a ladder match before as well. So the element of danger is definitely there more so than a normal match, which is dangerous enough in itself.
All right, we're not going to play the whole thing, but there were some really good moments from the Jericho on ESPN off the top rope with Jonathan Coachman. I know this question's probably been asked before, Mike, but does ESPN covering WWE legitimize it even more?
In a way, yes, and in a way, no, because like most of the ESPN people who aren't wrestling fans are just going to look at it like it's ridiculous that they're covering it.
Like MMA fans. Keep going back to the MMA fans.
A lot of MMA fans are wrestling fans, though, too.
A lot of them are, but a lot of them aren't. Here's the thing with MMA fans. They're either like, oh, it's pro wrestling, I enjoy it too, or they can't stand it because, oh, it's not real.
So why'd you watch? It's not real, guys.
Because I like matches to last more than 13 seconds sometimes, Ronda Rousey. Number one news story, Mike, what is going on there?
So we've been following this story for a few weeks now. Adam Rose.
Oh, my favorite person in the world.
Where's the bunny? No? Okay. Adam Rose has been cleared of all domestic...
I knew what you were joking about, I just didn't want to acknowledge it.
Adam Rose is cleared of all domestic violence charges.
Wow.
You know, we never got that reveal of who was in the bunny suit.
I'm very disappointed by that. I think that was a missed opportunity from WWE.
Everyone thought it was going to be like Sami Zayn or someone debuting.
Wasn't it Brad Maddox?
There was other people. Like, they had a different person in that suit every night.
Oh, this is going to be fun to edit later. I thought I had a good OBS settings, but nope, apparently not.
Tech Talk with Hammy.
Yep, Tech Talk.
It's like a show within a show.
It is a show within a show.
I know. So, which is ironic, because he was basically cleared of all charges. But had he not requested his release, he'd probably still be working there.
He probably would still be working there.
Yeah. They wouldn't have fired him because he wouldn't have been... Well, they might have fired him still because it was a dumb move. You were already kind of on the bubble.
He was already... It's either he was going to last there a few more weeks or be fired anyway.
Yeah.
Because... He was somewhat watchable in NXT, but on the main roster, he just didn't really do that much. But there are our top five news stories going on, and I want to add one more story to this, Mike.
All right.
Jeff Hardy recently came out, since we talked about the Hardys in the past couple of weeks.
Oh, Brother Nero?
Oh, yes. Jeff Hardy has come out and said that he wants to retire, get this, not only in WWE, but he wants to retire in a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania because, according to Jeff Hardy, he can out-jump Shane McMahon.
Get the fuck out of here. Just shut up. I'm tired of the Hardys. I'm tired of them. They were the ultimate coattail riders in all those TLC matches. They did spots. That's all they did.
And had a mediocre rivalry at WrestleMania 25.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Jeff Hardy came out and said that...
by the way, looks like a five-star rivalry compared to what they've got going on now.
Well, yeah. When the spoof of a contract signing video is funnier and better than the actual contract signing video, that's saying something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jeff Hardy came out and said that he wants to retire at WrestleMania in a Hell in a Cell match. So there you go. Because he thinks he can out-jump Shane McMahon. But he did, you will like this, Mike. He said that he knows that his body is saying it's almost time to call it a day. He has said that, okay, my time's coming. I know my time's almost up. I know my career's coming to an end. So there's that. There's that. All right. So moving on to our Monday Night Raw recap. And it started off with probably one of the funniest things I've seen in a very long time. And I say that. I also say that a lot.
Mm-hmm. You do.
I do. But when it involves a New Day and especially End Zone Cass, it's really tough. Really tough to say it isn't funny.
This is a By the way, there was a comment in this segment that ended up involving some Twitter interaction with Gallows and the New Orleans Saints.
No, what happened?
So to set this up, Gallows made a comment about how them winning the titles would be as easy as scoring on the Saints. So the New Orleans Saints didn't take too kindly from that.
Well, that is classic heel thing to do. When you want to get heat real quick, you make fun of the hometown team.
Yeah. So they responded.
Oh no!
With a Photoshop of four members of their team, like their heads is photoshopped onto the bodies of other WWE wrestlers. Let me find it and get the exact tweet. But it was funny. I'll give them that. I mean, the butthurt was strong with those ones. If they would just stop posting 25 million training camp videos, then I could get to the picture that I want to get to. But no, we're the New Orleans Saints. We've always had a shitty defense, and Drew Brees, that's how we get along.
They did win one Super Bowl, though, Mike. They did. They won that one.
They won the one. They that was their...
They won it for Katrina. Oh, God. They won it for New Orleans. So the Monday Night Raw opened up with the New Day with a hysterical gag about Kofi Kingston's soccer dad shoes.
Basically, they're the Steph Curry shoes that everyone's been ripping apart.
No, not two, oh no, but three other teams in a fatal four-way match. But who are these other teams?
Who?
Who? Who? You're not whoing. This is the part where we who, guys.
No, hold up.
Why are you wearing these old people's shoes?
What?
What's
brilliant is
dude.
Kofi knows
these
that those are
the Chef Curry
like
too.
Really okay. Popular shoes, and he's wearing them anyway for NBA the purpose of getting
MVP,
made fun of.
Two-time MVP,
that's more of an insult
Curry,
to me than anything
AKA
else.
AKA Chef Curry. Look, these are hot in the streets right now, baby.
Oh, what streets?
Yeah, Greenwich, Connecticut. I mean, in all fairness, those are some pretty mean streets.
So fast forward, we have Enzo and Cass come out. And, well, what happened later in the rain is something that is just pure comedy.
Doing great.
This Sunday at Money in the Bank, me and Zoe have our very first opportunity at the WWE Tag Team Championship.
Enzo's hair is always ridiculous.
And Enzo's hair looks like my hair when I wake up
Vegas.
In the morning.
We're going all in, and we are walking out with those titles.
Going all in.
Hold on. We cool. We all cool. We're cool with everything you've been doing. The unicorns, the cereal, those massagers for her pleasure you got sticking out your forehead.
Kofi's shaking his head.
Like extra quick.
If we're going to be teaming up tonight, I've got one question. Kofi, are you serious with them Jerry Seinfeld joints you got on?
Oh my God. Big Cass, man. He's going to shine as a singles competitor when WWE eventually, stupidly, break up Enzo and Cass.
Oh, they're so great. Like, why would they break them up?
Jessica 2 is your girl.
Yes, my girl.
Well, where was your girl last night?
Oh, they get into a little... Yeah. A little thing with Xavier Woods' trombone.
She's a grown, independent woman. She can go where she wants, okay?
You don't know where she was last night?
No, I don't.
Well, last night, she was with Enzo. And Enzo had his lips...
How you doing?
...all over her.
What, five most Frankie over yet? Guys in the ring.
Yeah.
Who's Frankie? Franny. I'll tell you something about Franny, all right? Last night we might have been in New Orleans, but Franny's no saint.
Oh,
oh
shit.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
You see Xavier going, that's not that bad. That's not bad.
It's not bad, huh?
I was pouring bourbon down Franny's neck piece. They got joints out on Bourbon Street open 24 hours a day. What a wonderful world. And I was playing with Franny with my fingers. I had my lips on her, and I was playing her like Louis Armstrong.
Man, tied it to the local musician legends.
Yeah. All night long. I'm the only one who blows my girl.
Angry Xavier Woods. Look at Enzo's face.
And now the moment that we've all been
best
waiting for.
Best heel interruption coming up.
A verbal joust of wits. The New Day versus Enzo and Cass. Let's go.
What was going to be the greatest thing ever now turns into one of the worst things ever.
One of the greatest heel interruptions.
I love this gag that they do because just a couple weeks ago, it was the dance-off between Shane and Stephanie, and Shane did his thing, and then everyone wanted to see Stephanie in those very short shorts get down and maybe twerk, and then the vaudevillains come out. This week was... It was going to be a verbal smack talk fest between two of the most over teams in WWE history. And I did say history. And then the vaudevillains come out again. Fantastic. I love...
Great way to get them heel heat. Like, it's fantastic cheap heel heat.
So here comes Gallows and Anderson out now.
With the line that I found the tweet for.
All of you, shut up! What is this, Camp WWE's annual talent show? Listen, playtime is over, boys.
We hate to be the fun police. Oh, wait, no we don't, Ski. This coming Sunday, there's only going to be one team standing in that ring with those tag team titles raised high in the air. And judging by this little display, it's going to be easier than scoring a touchdown on the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, there you go. Big, big way to get heel heat. Yeah. Make
Saints,
fun of
the Saints
hometown fans.
At WWE, tell at Luke Gallows WWE, if he wants to talk trash about us, come to our facility. Some friends want to say hello. And it's like Breeze photoshopped on a Triple H. A couple other players photoshopped on the wrestlers.
That's great.
That got Gallows like a little more notoriety.
That's legit.
Like, that was pretty awesome to see.
I love when people actually take the... interact with the pro wrestling environment and turn themselves into part of a possible storyline. I love it. I love when pro wrestling crosses over into other sports and other forms of culture here.
Yeah.
Another very strong segment here was the Ambrose Asylum featuring a Shield reunion.
Oh, that was one of my favorite segments
I ever had in a ring with you guys. Was when I took a chair and put it in your back.
And look, Dean, I know you weren't there, but this was a big Shield moment too. How about at WrestleMania when I stole your moment, cashed in my Money in the Bank contract, and became the first member of the Shield to hold that World Heavyweight Championship, huh? Those were some good moments, right?
Rollins with his laugh.
Come on, guys.
Best heel laugh ever.
Easy there, fella. Let's not have one of those kinds of shows. All right, let's get back on track. All right.
Rollins has great heel promo, great charisma, great energy. And then the conversation is turned to Roman Reigns. Guess how he and the audience respond to this?
I'm the guy.
Business here, all right? Let's talk about Money in the Bank this Sunday. Roman, WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. Big title defense. What can we expect?
Big dog walks in as champ. The big dog walks out as champ.
Wow, what a...
The big dog.
What a wonderful promo from Roman Reigns. Wow.
Wow, wits like that will get you real far, Roman.
Wow, I'm sorry, guys. I'm turning over a new leaf. He's the next to The Rock.
I have said time and time again, he has the potential to be just like The Rock. If they turn him heel and let him just be himself. But obviously, they're not going to let him do it.
You know, I had those, but you know what? I'm starting to have my doubts.
I think I'm agreeing with you. I'm starting to have doubts on Roman Reigns' potential.
They might want to shift away from building him up like The Rock, and they might want to shift more towards having Batista as the blueprint for Roman Reigns.
Now, that's an interesting way to put it, champ, because Seth Rollins believes
that you are
not the rightful champion.
Samoan Cena.
He believes he never lost that championship. I mean,
Samoan Cena.
Is that how you feel?
Did he ever beat me for that championship?
Oh, here's where Rollins really just turns up.
I know I didn't really explain.
Then why do I have this?
Oh, wait, hold on. We missed a Roman Reigns response. Hold on. Let's feel the energy and excitement from him.
Let's feel it. Feel it. Wow.
Champ. Then why do I have this?
Oh, boy.
Just explain to Seth here, buddy. I ask the questions around here, all right? Kind of my deal. Okay.
Seth, I kind of like this? The Ambrose Asylum.
He's got that. Because my knee caved out from carrying this company on my back for the better part of last year.
Dude, even as a heel, the fans freaking love Rollins.
How is he this over?
Because he's that good. Like, here's one thing. For those of you people who are listening who aren't really that into wrestling and aren't getting what's going on, because, like, Roman Reigns, like, story-wise, is being presented as the good guy, but is getting booed mercilessly, whereas Seth Rollins is being portrayed as the bad guy and is getting that kind of a reaction. Because Seth Rollins is so good at what he does, it's almost, at this point, out of respect when he gets pops like that.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
But one thing you haven't done is beat me.
Yeah.
And at Money in the Bank, I'm going to take back the title that I never lost on my own.
I like towards
That's
the end.
That's what you want. You want to be the man. You want to run around here and call yourself the man.
Hold on. Roman Reigns response.
Oh, God.
Get ready, Punchy. No, get ready to absorb the energy.
Is it the electricity?
That's what you want. You want to be the man. You want to run around here and call yourself the man. You want the spotlight. You're going to have the spotlight on Sunday.
I can't contain this.
You're going to be on your own in the ring with me. And you know after what? Money in the Bank, they're not going to call me the guy because I'm the champ. They're going to call me the guy because I beat you.
Can we just call this segment a wet hair off?
See, okay, this freeze frame right here on your I got just because I'm reversed into the camera on your left is everything a pro wrestler should be.
Yeah.
He's everything, both on the mic, in the ring, on commentary, persona, work ethic backstage. He is everything you want in a world champion.
In the middle, you've got Roddy Piper / Brian Pillman.
Yeah, that's good enough. And on the right is Vince McMahon's idea of a champion.
Yeah.
No charisma, no mediocre in-ring skills.
I'll give Vince this. At least back in the day when he was picking guys like that for his champion, they at least had some kind of charisma. Hulk Hogan, shit in ring, great charisma. Ultimate Warrior, worse than Hogan in ring, had charisma. When he went with the smaller guys, he picked Bret Hart, who, not charismatic, but charismatic enough.
Excellent in the ring.
Yeah, excellent in the ring. Shawn Michaels, very charismatic.
Arguably the best ever in the ring.
Kevin Nash, we even say charismatic. I'd call him charismatic.
I would say it.
But he was, all right, so what Kevin Nash was is what they're trying to do with Roman Reigns, and it's not working.
No, not at all.
Let's see, so Steve Austin.
The whole package.
The whole package. The Rock.
The whole package. Package.
Triple H, charismatic.
I've said for years, Triple H is the Led Zeppelin of wrestling because all the moves in his arsenal were once other people's moves. He even does them in the styles of everyone. That Arn Anderson spinebuster he likes to do.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm gonna give credit where credit is due. John Cena, charismatic AF.
Charismatic AF.
Like, seriously, he.
If you need any proof, Mike, and please tell me if you disagree, look at just the last two segments involving him and AJ Styles on the mic.
Great.
If you could just see how amazing John Cena can be on the microphone.
He's a very good mic worker. That was never the knock on John Cena when it comes to promos. The knock on John Cena when it comes to promos is a lot of times they make him pander to try to get like a cheap pop, but it doesn't always work.
But where I will give Cena the respect he deserves, because he does deserve respect.
Yeah.
Where in the ring, at least, where I give John Cena respect is you put him with the right opponent, he will deliver you a 5-star match.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
I mean, that's
Roman Reigns, you put him with the right people. You can possibly have a 5-star match, but Reigns...
Age says AJ Styles.
Yeah, thank you. But Reigns, I don't think, does as much for the match as Cena does in his matches with 5-star competitors.
The kind of guys who would get a 5-star match at a Roman Reigns would be like a Kevin Owens or a Cesaro, like guys who do power
and
moves.
And AJ Styles.
And Styles for different reasons, but like a guy like Cesaro, because of the power, like it's a what JR would call a slobber knocker.
Yeah. I would agree. All right, let's finish this here because we have a couple more segments from Raw.
Now, what I like is what Dean said.
Who's going to walk out WWE World Heavyweight Champion? Will it be Seth Rollins, the man who claims he never lost his championship, or will it be Roman Reigns, the champ? Who's it going to be?
The guy.
What if I win the Money in the Bank contract?
God, they are teasing a Shield WrestleMania main event.
They really, that should be the main event of WrestleMania, these three.
You,
and you know, Ambrose needs to win it.
Whether it's you, I cash in that same night, and I walk out WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
They're both, Rollins smug face.
Rollins had his moment 2 years ago. Reigns had his moment this year. It's time for Ambrose.
And Rollins with just the cheap heel move.
Driving Reigns out of the ring. And now Rollins going after Dean Ambrose.
He's the best fucking heel in that company.
Well,
he's 1A, 1B with Kevin Owens.
And now Rollins setting up Reigns for a pedigree. Ambrose misses with a clothesline.
Can you imagine the pop that's going to happen? Oh, wait. Here's the part. This best reaction of the night right here.
Hey, Dean Ambrose! Dirty Deeds! Could it be Ambrose?
That's his best friend.
Listen to that crowd.
They've never had a real legit rivalry.
Listen to how loud that crowd got.
And the crowd erupted.
He is going to be the guy who gets Daniel Bryan into winning at WrestleMania.
Could it be Ambrose's time? I don't think so. Money in the Bank. But his time is most certainly coming.
We'll get into it. We'll get into who we think is going to win the briefcase when we do
momentarily. Promotion. And we have, I want to save the last 10, 11 minutes or so of the show for predictions. Speaking of matches that will steal the show, may I introduce to you Mr. John Cena and AJ Styles.
And they are going to put work into that match too.
WG, the Ring of Honor, the New Japan. There is one name synonymous.
Notice
with
where they didn't mention.
Why won't they mention TNA?
Because TNA is irrelevant. That's why.
They mention everything but TNA.
It's like TNA is that place that they're like, you're better off not putting it on your resume.
It's like the shadow area in The Lion King where Mufasa's talking to Simba. Everything here is our kingdom we could talk about. Oh, what's that? That's TNA. You don't want to mention that, Simba.
No, because the difference is that area is a threat in The Lion King, whereas TNA is not a threat. TNA is the Rick Moranis and Ghostbusters of wrestling promotions. Not a threat at all.
TNA is the Rick Moranis now of pro wrestling.
No, I'm more scared of Rick Moranis now than I am.
And that name is AJ Styles.
Who Kevin Owens says has hair like his aunt.
Since my debut here in the WWE, I've won 15 world championships. In the very same amount of time, AJ Styles has won more than 15 championships.
Yeah.
The two WWE superstars right now that can walk around the WWE without a title and still be called a champ will go face to face this Sunday live on the WWE Network.
He's got a point there.
When that bell rings, I'm going to run circles around you and I'll be the one saying, "You can't see me." Because you can't beat me. Now, where do I sign?
So the purpose of this contract signing was on the top of the screen is AJ Styles with the club, and on the bottom was John Cena versus AJ Styles. So basically, is he going to have the club at ringside or not?
So, and he picked the contract that was without the club.
Correct. So we are going to have AJ Styles versus John Cena
without the club.
Without the club. In a match that everyone is saying, basically fans everywhere are saying it's the face of TNA versus the face of WWE.
Yep.
The face of the guy who basically carried TNA for all of those years is now facing face of WWE.
I've got my thoughts on what's going to happen with that whole, because like everyone thinks Cena's going to win, but that no club thing, I'll explain when we do the picks, but I've got a theory on that.
I'm looking very much forward to hear your plans.
Also, the main event on Raw, we don't have any video of it, but I just want to point out Kevin Owens on commentary was gold. We were listening to it before the show started, and Kevin Owens is just so great at playing a dick.
Oh, he's the best. He's absolute best.
He's so good, and it's which is funny because in real life he's apparently a super nice guy, but when he's playing the heel character, he's such a dick, and it's so funny.
All right, so the very first...
So the pre-show...
So let's get on to the...
Yeah, pre-show. Sheamus versus guy who smiles way too much, Apollo Crews. I want Apollo Crews to win that match. He's talented. They haven't really been doing much with him. I feel like they give Sheamus the win here because Ninja Turtles just came out and the promotion for that. So I think they're going to build him a little stronger for the next few weeks while the movie's out.
Yeah, but wouldn't that mean putting him on the kickoff match? Not putting him on the kickoff match?
Yeah, but I mean, where would we put him?
Good point. Okay, next match on the card. I'm just going in order listed on the website,
pre-show.
Not in a particular order.
Ziggler versus Baron Corbin.
Uh-huh.
Can this feud just end already? What is with Dolph Ziggler now and getting in feuds that run way too long? Like, all right, so here's the difference between well-executed feuds versus, boring feuds. This is a boring feud at this point. Ziggler's an exciting wrestler.
Wait, this was a feud?
It's been a feud for a while. Like,
oh, I'm making a joke like, yeah. Oh, it hasn't been captivating enough for me to actually watch or care.
Yeah, good point. It hasn't been captivating. They just brought they randomly interfere in each other's matches. That's it. There's no purpose in the feud except to give Baron Corbin a feud, I guess. I don't know.
By the way, I didn't give my official prediction of the last match. I pick Apollo Crews. Okay. For this match, I don't give a shit, but I'm picking Baron Corbin. I'm not emotionally invested in this at all. I just think Baron Corbin gets the win.
Yeah, they're going to give Corbin the win because he's new. He's the new toy, and Ziggler's the guy they just... He's jobbing to everybody at this point. Let's face it.
So much for being the next Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, right.
I'm going in order of the matches that are listed on WWE.com. Next match on the list is WWE Women's Champion Charlotte and Dana Brooke versus Natalya and Becky Lynch. This feud has actually, I applaud
it's
Charlotte.
Better.
It's gotten a lot better. I give Charlotte a lot of credit for holding her own and not relying on Ric Flair, bringing in Dana Brooke as like a little protege or an evil assistant.
AKA WWE saying, crap, we've got Dana Brooke called up. Emma's out for most of the year. What do we do with her?
Eh.
Oh, let's just put her with Charlotte.
And
it's working.
And I am never complaining about seeing Natalya on my screen. So to give her a match with Charlotte again, women's champion, great.
Well, I mean, hey, listen, she's working a lot on TV more. Somebody's got to be active in making the money for that marriage. Because Tyson Kidd apparently isn't wrestling again.
Yeah, that's real sad. And Becky Lynch, always good to see her on the card. I'm picking, because it's a tag team non-title match, I'm picking Natalya and Becky Lynch.
I could see that. And then what will eventually happen is whoever pins Charlotte, Becky Lynch, will kind of be lumped with Paige in a three-way title match, or like for Survivors for SummerSlam, and then maybe throw in Sasha Banks there.
Speaking of Sasha Banks, real quick, she has said publicly that in interviews that she is medically cleared and ready to go. So do Charlotte and Dana Brooke win, and then Sasha Banks returns?
That could be the thing too. You know what? I'm picking. That's why I'm picking them to win, because I'm changing my mind and I'm picking Charlotte and Dana to win. Because the thing too is that, like, what I was gonna originally say the faces win, but I think the heels win this one because of the promo backstage segment on Raw when Charlotte was just admonishing Dana Brooke because Paige beat her. Your toddler beat her. So I think this is where Dana and Charlotte win, gets them like a good win to keep them together. But then they kind of take liberties on one of the two faces, and then Sasha's music hits, and she comes out and makes the save.
I can totally see that happening. Next match on the card, U.S. Champion Rusev versus Titus O'Neil, returning fresh from suspension.
U.S. and TV Champion Rusev.
Yeah.
Rusev is going to win that match. He's done so much better since the formation and then disbandment of the League of Nations.
I absolutely agree.
Just something's clicked with him. He's entertaining now. And he's great, the whole TV champion thing. Like, just he plays his character now like he's a sleazy Bulgarian landlord, and it's fantastic.
He's a Bulgarian Donald Trump.
Yeah. Like, he's been so great lately as that character.
Make the U.S. title great again. That's Rusev's motto.
They can't do that because they're already doing the make Darren Young great again thing.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Which, that's starting to get a little ground, too. Like, that's starting to get entertaining.
All right. I think we're both picking Rusev here.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to pick Titus O'Neil in this. Next match on the card is one that I am very much so looking forward to. Tag Team Champions The New Day versus Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson versus Enzo Amore and Big Cass versus the Vaudevillains in a Fatal 4-Way Tag Team title match.
I'm picking Gallows and Anderson. It's been what I've said like this whole time. The team that's going to end New Day's reign is going to be Gallows and Anderson.
I agree. I think Gallows and Anderson do the classic heel tactic of letting everyone else beat each other up and then sneak in with the win. Yeah.
The Vaudevillains could do that role just as easily, though. A heel team is winning. I'm going with the club.
Yeah, I see a heel team coming out of this with the titles. I'm agreeing with you, Mike. I am picking Gallows and Anderson as well. But that will be one of the potential show stealers of the night. Wholeheartedly.
Now, the main potential show stealer of the night.
The main potential show stealer, absolutely. Money in the Bank ladder match for a WWE World Heavyweight Championship match contract. Anytime they can cash in and make a WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. Kevin Owens versus Alberto Del Rio. I cannot talk tonight. Cesaro versus Sami Zayn versus Dean Ambrose versus Y2J Chris Jericho, who, by the way, I am very
invented
impressed.
Everything.
Not only did he invent everything, but I am happy that he has been in WWE for much longer than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
I love the fact that Jericho's there to still help put over talent.
Let's face it.
There are so many different outcomes for this, but the winner is decided by who comes down with the contract, and I am picking Kevin Owens.
All right, I'm going to break this down for everyone. The three that are definitely not winning it, Jericho, and Del Rio aren't, because they're kind of pushing that new era thing. I think it should go to someone who's considered a new era star. Sami Zayn is not going to win it.
He's not ready yet.
Yeah, he just debuted. He's not ready yet. So that gives you Cesaro, Dean Ambrose, and Kevin Owens. By the way, cool story, bro, says Ambrose has been a fucking disappointment at big matches, though. They pump him up. The pay-per-view comes and it's boring as hell. That's because they put
him in. Not a bad argument.
Jericho kind of has been mailing it in. That's the one problem with Jericho's recent return, is he's, for the most part, has been mailing it in.
But cool story, bro, has a point. Ambrose in big matches, not as good as he can be.
Well, I feel like the WrestleMania match, I think they just cut short. That's my whole thing on that.
Also, he was also in the ring with Brock Lesnar. So
now, Vince is iffy on Cesaro still. So as much as I'd like to see Cesaro win this match, he's not going to win this match.
And I think they're saving Ambrose's potential win for WrestleMania next year.
I think that's going to be like the three-way. So that leaves us with Kevin Owens, who I'm also picking as the winner of Money in the Bank. Because what I think... Let's face it, they'll probably try, like, I've got my fantasy booking of what they're probably going to do.
What are they going to do? You teased your fantasy booking.
Well, no, I teased a couple, but for this one, I still think it's going to be Cena beats Reigns for the title at SummerSlam to give him title win number 16.
Tie Ric Flair's record.
And then Kevin Owens cashes in at SummerSlam. Beats Cena, becomes champion, becomes the first guy to be ring of... Seth Rollins was the first. Becomes the second guy to become Ring of Honor, NXT, and WWE champion.
I can't really argue with that fantasy booking, Mike. I think that's the most that it makes sense. It's time for Kevin Owens to have the big main event push he deserves.
He deserves it, and I've heard Vince is actually warming up to Kevin Owens.
As he should be.
Because Kevin Owens sells a lot of merchandise, as you can see by the 800 shirts that he has made of him.
And Vince McMahon, we know he's a big... merch sales are a big deal for him. So here we go with my pick. This is your match of the night.
Here's where my fantasy booking comes in too.
John Cena versus AJ Styles, one-on-one, no outside interference, no club, no nothing. John Cena versus AJ Styles in a singles match. What do you got?
So there's two possible outcomes in this match. Either John Cena wins, and this propels him to win, to get a title shot. Or AJ Styles wins by some interference. Now, not going to be the club, right? But right now, the club just consists of AJ, Gallows, and Anderson.
Right.
But there's someone they wouldn't expect to come out, and thus wouldn't count as a member of the
club.
Are
you saying an NXT wrestler gets called up?
Finn Balor, I think, costs Cena the match if AJ wins.
But on NXT, Nakamura challenged him to a match. So I think they're keeping him in NXT for a little bit.
Kevin Owens debuted as the NXT champion.
That is a fair point.
So did Seth Rollins. So did a lot of people, actually. A couple people, actually. All right, so, but I...
It really is the IWC versus John Cena.
It really is,
because every single wrestling fan out there on the internet, on their keyboards, on their Twitters, they are wholeheartedly cheering for AJ Styles to win this. I will be one of them. I want Styles to win, but
I think
returning John Cena, he's the face of WWE, has been for over a decade.
Yeah.
AJ Styles is as popular as he is, and as much as Vince loves him, he's still an indie darling. He is not WWE-born talent. John Cena defeats AJ Styles at Money in the Bank.
And then Cena does his face turn and feuds with Roman Reigns for a bit.
And speaking of Roman Reigns, real quick, your main event of Money in the Bank, and I know we only have seconds left of the show, Roman Reigns, WWE Championship versus Seth Rollins, the challenger.
I want Seth Rollins to win this match
Rollins to win so badly, but Roman Reigns is winning.
Yeah, he's winning the match.
It makes no sense to pick anything else but
Roman
Reigns.
I hope they surprise us and don't, but let's face it.
They're going to.
Reigns.
They're not going to. All right. So those are our Money in the Bank predictions. Thank you guys very much for listening. The podcast will be up shortly, and I promise, figure out a way to fix this fucking video stream.
Yeah.
He is at Hipster Punchy on Twitter. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. This is BSR Wrestling on Twitter on BrainStewRadio.com.
Oh, Broken Skull Ranch.
God damn it. Thanks, guys, for listening. The podcast will be up shortly. We will see you next week with our Money in the Bank recap show. Have a good night, guys.